Morning. It's good to be with you today and good to have those of you that are visiting. We're very glad that you're here. Hope that you can come back and be with us again another opportunity. Tonight we have our singing night at 5 o'clock this afternoon, so if you can be back, I know you'll enjoy that time together this afternoon, 5 o'clock. I want to continue our series that we're taking from Romans chapter 12, Love Without Hypocrisy, and the scripture that we've taken this from is in Romans chapter 12 and verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, and cling to what is good. I think we all realize what a hypocrite is, and we try to define it, and we usually know it when we see it. When someone is being hypocritical, you know, people immediately want to object, especially, you know, this time of the year in a political season. It's interesting to see that somebody will take a position on something and somebody will reach back in the past and say, well, you took an opposite position, you know, several years ago, and, you know, which one is correct? And so you see hypocrisy in those kind of things. And we sense a sense of unfairness, you know, when the pot's calling the kettle black or the gander wants to be treated differently than the goose. And we all feel that's not right when we see those kind of things. Practice. We want people to practice what they preach, and hypocrisy really assaults people's, you know, most basic moral sensibility. So it's certainly something that I believe we understand it when we see it, but we really need to understand what it is, especially in context of what Paul is telling the Romans here. This phrase "without hypocrisy" is translated from a single compound word in the Greek as a neupokritos, which means without dissimulation or unfeigned or sincere. And so we are to be sincere. And it really is the negative form of the word hypocrisy. What Paul is telling them to be is the opposite of being a hypocrite or having hypocrisy. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 1, Jesus many times in the New Testament called out hypocrisy. He said he called it the leaven of the Pharisees. And the reason he called it that is because it was something that would do damage to others. That this leaven was something that could be damaging when others adopted that as well. He did not want his disciples to be influenced by it. And it was a real issue, as Jesus used the word hypocrite about 15 times in the book of Matthew, and when he was denunciating the Pharisees and the scribes. And he would address them as scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, over and over. The word hypocrite literally means one who answers or one who plays a part. And it was the custom of the Greeks and Roman actors to speak while wearing large masks. And the masks were formed in such a way that it was supposed to augment the voice and cause it to be altered a little bit. And that word, you know, came to be used to describe an actor or one who played a part in a play. So if you were ancient Greek, you might say there's a lot of hypocrites in Hollywood. And so, and that's true in lots and lots of ways. But the Nelson's Bible Dictionary describes it this way, what a hypocrite is. In the Greek theater, a hypocrite, who wore a mask and played a part on the stage, imitating the speech or the mannerisms and conduct of the character portrayed. I think we all understand that in context of acting, that, you know, play acting is really being a hypocrite, if you want to, you know, put it in that way. That's what the word has come to mean. Unger's Bible Dictionary says that the hypocrite is a double person. Natural and artificial. The first he keeps to himself, and the other he puts on as he does his clothes to make his appearance before men. And so these are, you know, definitions of the word hypocrite and how it came to be defined in this way. So, you know, actors, through the amplification of their voice and the appearance of their mask on the Greek stage, it would make the audience, you know, believe that they were someone else, and at least that's what you want. You know, with the best actors and actresses, we say that you really forget who they are because they are so good at portraying the role that they are trying to put across. And there's others that are not so good at that every role that they are in, they seem exactly the same. It's like they're playing themselves. So, you know, a good hypocrite, a good actor, is one that appears to be something that they're not, or someone that they are not. It's all put on, it's all a show. And the concept is clearly behind, you know, Jesus' definition of the hypocrite that we see in Mark chapter 7. He said, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. So Jesus really defines what it is that they are doing. That they're saying one thing and that they're meaning another. They're like an actor. You know, you're saying this, but all I see are your lips moving, because the way that you're living is not consistent with what you're saying. You say these things with your mouth, but your heart, your mind is not really engaged with the same thing that you're saying. And you're teaching as commandments the doctrines of men. So we see that from that standpoint, you know, hypocrisy is really something that is very foolish. And it's really a denial of the omniscient God. Because when a person attempts to fool others, that may not be very hard. But when you try to fool God, you're not going to be successful in doing that. When you are trying to appear to be something on the outside that you're not on the inside, you know, who do we think that we're fooling? We may fool our mom and dad. We may fool others that we come in contact with. But really, the hypocrite, if they think about what it is that they're doing, they're denying that God really sees all. But He does. He sees everything that we do. And we need to realize that it's pointless to try to be a hypocrite when God can see everything. In Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, it says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they were trampled, that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. You know, why? Why did he say that? Well, he goes on and says, for there is nothing that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetop. Have you ever been fearful that somebody overheard you when you said something, or you look around the room to see who is there before you say something, or you have texted somebody by accident, or you're afraid that you texted the wrong person, you're having multiple conversations going on at the same time? You know, what a horrible thing it is when that happens, because you're trying to hide something from somebody else, and you're not wanting that to be seen. And the leaven of the Pharisees, the hypocrisy, Jesus is saying that they are ones that are not really realizing that God is seeing everything. God sees all. And he says that whatever you've spoken in the dark, it's going to be seen. Whatever you have spoken, you've gone behind closed doors to say, it's going to be proclaimed on the housetops. Because God sees all. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, there is no creature that is hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So again, I know we understand this, but sometimes we live in such a way that we it seems that we don't understand it, because we are so engaged and so focused on fooling others, but we cannot lose sight of the fact that we can't fool God. When Jesus was with the Pharisees, and he was had an invitation to dine with the Pharisee, the other Pharisees immediately judged that Jesus was a sinner because he failed to wash his hands before he ate. In Luke chapter 11, verse 39, it says, the Lord said to them, now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? Have you ever, taken things out of the dishwasher and they did not get clean? I know that's probably happened to everybody, especially if you have the kind of dishwasher we do. But you can see that maybe the outside of something looks very clean and shiny, and then you turn it over, and, well, that didn't get clean. But the outside looks good, so I'm going to eat out of that anyway, because once I pour cereal and milk in it, nobody's going to see all that dirt. Is that the way you think? That because it looked, that bowl looked really good on the outside, that you're going to go ahead and use it anyway? No, you're going to put it back in the sink and you're going to wash it the old-fashioned way. Or you're going to put it back in the dishwasher and try again four or five times before you put it in the sink, because it's not going to get clean. We're going to make sure that the inside is like the outside and that both sides of it are clean. But Jesus is saying that the Pharisees are that way. That they are. What he's saying is that you're very good at doing things that are going to be seen by others. That you clean up real nice on the outside, but your problem is not what's on the outside. Your problem is what is on the inside. And so in Luke chapter 11, verse 39, he says, the one who made the outside makes the inside also. You need to take care of both. So hypocrisy really is foolish from the standpoint that it's not really accomplishing anything except to make you seem good on the outside. The only thing that it accomplishes is making you seem like you're something to somebody else, but God is not fooled by that. Also, hypocrisy is really selfish when you think about it. Why do we pretend to be something that we're not? It's because there's some self-interest that is going to help. That there is something that about doing that pretending or doing that acting is going to benefit me in some way. And Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 23. He said, they do all their works to be seen by men. They make their phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of their garments. They love the best places at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplaces, and to be called by men, Rabbi, Rabbi. And if you're familiar with the phylacteries, the Old Testament told the people of God in Deuteronomy that they needed to keep the word of God close to their heart or in their heart. And so the Jews took this literally, and they would write the scriptures on little scrolls of paper, and the phylactery was this little leather case that they'd wear around their neck. And so the scripture would be close to their heart literally. And so Jesus is saying you've made these outward things, very obvious. And you make your phylacteries broad and enlarge the borders of your garment. So the things that you're doing, they are seen by others. You want to sit in the best places, have the best seats, and to be called, you're such a wonderful teacher. You're such a wonderful person. You're so great at knowing the scriptures. And this is not a compliment. He's not complimenting them in this regard. He's saying that you have a selfish agenda. Because you're not really interested in what's right or wrong, or you're not interested in others, you're being disingenuous. I know that we've probably all come in contact with people like that from time to time. One of the friends that I work with, his brother is an SEC official. And, as is the case with many that participate in officiating sports, coaches will be very nice to you. They'll be your best buddy because they're hoping to get some kind of consideration from you during the game. But when it goes south on you, then all of a sudden, that person is your worst enemy. And so, things are that's your best friend until the calls start going the opposite way or you start losing the game. And so we see those kind of things. Where somebody will be, very nice to you and complimentary when it's going to benefit them. It might be that there's something that they want from you. It's kind of like when Michael comes up to you and says, "Hey, Randy, buddy, old pal." Well, we see that sometimes. Not that Michael's being disingenuous about it, but sometimes when we do expect something or want something from somebody else, there are those that pay a lot of attention. But the rest of the time, they wouldn't even know that you existed on the earth until it is that it's going to benefit them. And that's what makes hypocrisy selfish. It's something that serves your own interest. It's also something that Jesus says it's infectious. That's why he warned people about the leaven of the Pharisees, the way that leaven works, it's going to have an effect on everything that is around it. And when a person decides to live a lie and to deny his own conscience and to live in such a way that he's not practicing the truth and just putting on a facade, it's something that can cause issues for others. In fact, Paul confronted Peter on that very issue. If you're listening to the reading this morning in Galatians chapter 2, a couple of verses here that you can review here. It says, "When Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision." So here, Peter basically was acting like a Jew when he was around the Jews and like a Gentile when he was around the Gentiles and enforcing parts of the old law, which shouldn't have been done, but that would have made the Jews happy. And so Peter was doing that. And so it would have been bad enough if that were all there was to it. But what Paul says is that Peter was causing others to be carried away with his hypocrisy. The rest of the Jews also played hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. And you can understand that because Peter was a very influential, recognizable leader in the church in that day. And people may have looked at Peter and said, you know, if Peter is doing that, then that's something that I'm going to do too. If Peter can behave in this way and this is the direction he's going, then that must be right. And it wasn't right. And Peter was withstood to the face by Paul to correct that, what Paul is defining as hypocrisy. And the hypocritical leader is someone that can do enormous spiritual damage to others and to the church. If someone is accepted as a leader by others and that hypocrisy is never exposed, you know, like it was in Peter's situation, can you imagine if this were allowed to go on? If Paul had thought, well, you know, Peter's been an apostle a lot longer than I have, you know, I don't have any right to criticize him because I'm certainly, you know, not without sin, so I'm not going to cast a stone at Peter. And so he doesn't say anything about that. He doesn't feel like he's worthy to say anything to Peter because Peter's been doing this a lot longer than I have. Can you imagine the damage that would have been done in the church if Peter had been allowed to keep on carrying out this hypocrisy and this false teaching? No. You know, Paul had a responsibility to take care of that, and he did. But the hypocritical leader, if that hypocrisy is not exposed, he's really lowering the standards for all, and his focus is not on things that it should be. And in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself." And you can certainly tell this is not a compliment. Jesus is not complimenting the Pharisees here. He's saying that you go and you seek out somebody to follow you, and if they follow your example, you know, they're not doing themselves any favors. You know, they're not becoming what they need to become. If you're a hypocrite and you go find somebody else to be a hypocrite just like you, then that's not good for anybody. That hypocrisy needs to be exposed. In Matthew chapter 23, again, verses 2 through 4, it says, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but don't do according to their works, for they say and do not do. For they bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and they lay on men's shoulders, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." So this person that's accepted as a leader and this hypocrisy is there, that good influence, you won't be there like it should. And Jesus warned the disciples here about this failed leadership when he said that, you know, when they teach you the word, you need to, if it's the word of God, you need to listen to it and you need to do it. But don't pay attention to what they're doing. Don't follow what they are doing, because then you'll be going in the wrong direction. Many historians contend that figures like Julius Caesar and Napoleon Bonaparte were successful leaders because the people that were following them believed that these leaders were actually interested in them. These leaders came across as being very in touch with them and in tune with them. And so whatever it was that they wanted the followers to do, whatever they asked their troops to do, they would do, because these leaders showed interest in them. And that's sometimes can be a very dangerous thing, that a hypocritical leader can find other people to follow and manipulate them. But one of the things that you have to keep in mind that Jesus said about the Pharisees is that they're binding heavy burdens on others, and they're not willing to do those things at all. Leaders who constantly call on others to sacrifice and work but are unwilling to do any work themselves, you know, that's certainly not effective, and it's hypocritical. Hypocrisy is also something that is defined as heartless. Back to Jesus' words in Mark chapter 7, verse 6, it says, "He answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." So here we have this contrast between the lips and the heart that reflects the ability of the hypocrite to, you know, to comply just outwardly, you know, and you do that by saying the right things. And we've all seen that before in our places of work. And I go through a lot of training, and you know, people will talk about teamwork, and there's all these kind of things that you hear over and over. And in just about every sales training seminar that you go to, or teamwork seminar, a lot of you have heard the same things over and over. And what happens a lot of times is those things are heard, and that there's never any kind of change that's made. People keep doing the same things that they have done for a long time, because you know it's just part of the cycle that when you know sales go down, then these things start getting emphasized, and then when they go back up, everybody forgets that part of the process. It's kind of like what we see in the Old Testament with the cycle of the obedience and disobedience of the Israelites. And we see cycles like that in our lives. But what we're saying here in regard to hypocrisy is that people will, from time to time, they will say the right things, but then they don't really make any changes based on the right things that are being said. So Jesus is saying, you can comply outwardly, your lips move, but your heart is far from me. So obedience is really defined as an outward, you know, conformity alone, and that in our minds, that obedience is defined that way. And I know sometimes when we talk about who is a faithful member and who is not, and I think we've mentioned this before, but you know what can we see that defines faithfulness? First thing you're going to think about is attendance, right? People are going to think about, are they faithful in their attendance? Are they here when the doors are open? Are they coming to the services consistently? So we're going to deem that person faithfully if he or she attends faithfully at the services, without any reference to their attitude or action at other times. Because we're judging it on one thing, or judging it on what we can easily see. And I know that's difficult for us sometimes, because what else can we do? We can judge by what we see. I know that you're all here. I can see you. I don't know what you're thinking about right now. I don't know if you're thinking about what I'm saying, or if you're thinking that I wish I would stop saying it, or if you're thinking about football games, or if you're thinking about what you're going to do this afternoon, and I hope that he hurries up because, you know, we're going to have to wait a long time over at the Olive Garden. I don't know what you're thinking about, but I can see you all look nice. You're all looking at me. You may be one of my kids and afraid I'm going to use you as an example in the sermon. But the point is that I don't have any idea what you're thinking, but I know that you're here, so I'm going to judge you faithful. But in your heart, you may not be faithful. Your heart may be far from God, but there's things that you're doing on the outside, and everybody looks at you and thinks, yeah, they're okay. What Jesus is saying is that you can't judge by appearance. You can't judge by what the lips are saying. The heart has to be there. And the hypocrite can learn how to make arbitrary, you know, decisions about, you know, what's going to be seen by others, what's going to put me in a good light. But also the Pharisees in Jesus' day, they would make decisions about, you know, what they thought was this going to help somebody's status. And Jesus addressed that in Matthew chapter 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. And so what they were doing is they were making arbitrary distinctions of what God required of themselves and others, and say, okay, here's the things that you need to do. And Jesus said, it's good that you're requiring these things. And sometimes we read this and think, oh, yeah, we're not supposed to focus on details. No, Jesus didn't say you don't focus on the details. He said you need to not only do that, but you need to do these other things too. There's some big picture things that you've totally left out. But Jesus uses this analogy of straining at the gnat, which is kind of comical to us when we think about it. And that was a very common practice when the Pharisees would pour their water through a sieve to strain out any insects that were too small to see with the naked eye. You know, we don't really have to think about that today. Well, some of us don't. But, you know, if we go into a restaurant and we see that their health rating is 54, we know that maybe they're not straining the gnats. But there's places that we go and we think, I'm safe to eat this food. I'm safe to drink this water. It's already been taken care of. But in that day, you know, they had the problem where they needed to strain the water. So here's the small insect, almost too small to see with the naked eye unless it's buzzing around your ear. But they strain out the gnat, but they swallowed the largest animal in Palestine, you know, the camel. And so that's a comical illustration that's used here. And certainly it makes the point that they were leaving some big things undone. So we are constantly challenged to look deeper than the surface. As Jesus goes on here in Matthew chapter 23 and verse 25, he says we need to look deeper under the surface, especially when we're judging ourselves. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Again, these are illustrations that are very easy to see, that a tomb can look very shiny on the outside, but on the inside it's not something that you'd want to see. But that's what he said the scribes and Pharisees were. Pretty on the outside, but nobody really knows what's on the inside, and if you can see it, it's not a good picture. So, question for us is, how can we avoid that? How can we avoid being a hypocrite? How can we avoid fighting the tendency to play a part or a role rather than living by the truth? So in closing, I want to suggest three different things. First of all, it's pretty obvious that we need to dig down deep and acknowledge the fact that we're sinners, that we don't think of ourselves too highly. And as is also said in Romans chapter 12, in verse 3, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. We don't need to think like the Pharisee in the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. The Pharisee's prayer, if you remember, was evidence that he just didn't really get it. He didn't understand what he was. It never sank in deeply with him that he too was a sinner, because he prayed, God, I thank you that I'm not like other people. I'm not like thieves and rogues and adulterers, even as this tax collector. So as he's saying that, what he's doing, he's claiming a perfection that he really didn't have. He was like other men. He said, I'm not like other men, but he was. He was a hypocrite. But the tax collector, standing afar off, would not look up to heaven and was beating his breast saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. There was a syndicated columnist that's passed away now, but his name is Bill Vaughn. And he once famously said this. He said, in the game of life, it is a good idea to have a few early losses, which relieves you of the pressure of trying to maintain an undefeated season. So he's using a sports analogy there that is easy to understand. But what he's saying is that in life, a lot of people keep feeling like they have to keep up this facade of perfection. So let's just get that out of the way in the very beginning, that none of us are perfect. You know, that's really what hypocrisy is all about sometimes, is about maintaining this impression that we are living lives that are totally undefeated by sin. So step one of avoiding hypocrisy is to really realize who you are, and that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And by the grace of God, we can have a relationship with Christ and with God. But never lose sight of what we are, like the Pharisee did in that parable. Another thing that we can do to avoid being a hypocrite is to focus more on service rather than status. And when I think about this, I think of a situation many years ago when I was at EBSCO, when we were interviewing someone for a position, and he asked during the interview where his office was going to be and what his title was going to be on the business card. And I thought, that I've never heard anybody ask that in an interview. So we're still trying to figure out if you know anything. You know, we're still trying to figure out if you're a good fit or have any qualities or bring anything that would be beneficial to the company. But you don't really seem to be focused on that right now. If you're focusing on what is, I think probably one of the least important things that you could look at is what your title is on the business card. I would be much more concerned about how many zeros come after the numbers on my paycheck rather than what the title was on the business card. But so that's an example of somebody that was concerned about status. What is my title going to be? How are people going to look at me? Am I going to be in a cubicle? Because those that are in a cubicle are viewed one way, but somebody that's actually got a door and a nameplate and four walls, you know, we understand that in the business world, don't we? If you're relegated to a cubicle, we don't see that the same way as we see an office. And so it doesn't really matter, though. It doesn't really have any, where you're seated, whether or not you have an office, it doesn't really have a whole lot to do with what you're doing a lot of times. But you see that as some kind of status symbol, whether or not you get four color printing on your card or it's embossed. Now that's all about status. But to avoid being a hypocrite, we need to focus on service rather than status. We can see that the Pharisees really had a hard time with that. They were not focused on how they could help the sinner. They were not focused on how they could teach others, but they were focused on the chief seats and how they were viewed by others. That's about status. And we're not so far removed from that can't be a danger for us as well. There are people all the time that are tempted by status and how that they are perceived. And the other thing that we've mentioned several times this morning is we need to spend more time on the inside rather than the outside of our lives. How much time do we spend dealing with the outside? You know, the impression that we make. You know, the clothes, the makeup, the hair, the cars, the houses. You know, whether or not we're in a preeminent position in our jobs. How much time do we spend on the inside? Prayer, Bible study, you know, reflection, meditation, making sure that our relationship with each other is what it should be and our relationship with God is what it should be. So, to avoid being a hypocrite, realize who you are and focus on service rather than status and spend more time on the inside rather than the outside. And that certainly would have been helpful to those that Jesus was addressing that were so hypocritical. And it would help those that Paul was addressing as well in the book of Romans that they needed to love without hypocrisy. I hope these things will be useful to you and a challenge to you and that you'll be able to think about these things and that we can all embody this instruction in our lives. If we can help you in any way, be obedient to the gospel of Christ, we'd invite you to come while we stand together and sing.